And I want to read verses 7 through 10. And while you're turning there, I've had an interesting week this week. It's been one of challenge and one of struggle. I had a very unique opportunity to play at Harley-Davidson at my job. They had this thing called Culture Fest. It's like a miniature, I guess, Summerfest type thing, where they have like different vendors come in and serve food, and they have different musical performers. And they were taking local talent from my particular plant, and I signed up to play, and I got up there to play, and I ran into all sorts of technical difficulties, which seems to be following me even today. But what was very interesting was I was in a very interesting predicament, because this was my one opportunity to present the gospel, because that's really what I wanted to do. Is I wanted to show Christ to my coworkers, and they were going to have someone introduce each performance and each act. And the person that had introduced me was going to be advocating the LGBT community before introducing me. And I found this out right, you know, the day I was supposed to perform, a few hours before I was supposed to go on there. And I was put in a very awkward position, because, you know, after she's going to give her gay rights spiel, I was going to start talking about Jesus. And so I was in a very interesting situation there. But thanks be to God that, I don't know, God maneuvered things out of the way where she didn't get to speak, or they had someone else speak. And there was nothing mentioned regarding that before I actually performed. So I got to give a short testimony just about Christ to all of Harley-Davidson. So I was just so grateful for that opportunity. Amen. And that's really what this is about. It's about reaching the lost. But I want to also talk about something that is, I would even say, may even go above that. Go above even reaching the lost. I'm going to show you this here in Genesis chapter 3. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 3, verse 7 says, "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked." This is referring to Adam and Eve. They have just partaken of the forbidden fruit. "And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." Really underline that particular thought, that Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Today I want to preach to you a simple message entitled, "I Have Nothing to Hide." I have nothing to hide. And so my heart is full today. It really is, it's bursting at the seams. As I was even preparing for this message, I was trying to type the notes, and the Holy Ghost was just overtaking me to the point where I couldn't even type anymore. God has a very urgent word for the church today. I don't normally say this, but I feel extremely strongly within my spirit that you need to hear this. It is imperative that you hear this word, okay? I don't normally put "thus saith the Lord" behind my messages. I would put that behind this. This is something you need to hear. And I want to get out of the way. I just want God to have his way. I'm not here to shout you up or impress you. I just want to do God's will. And I want to see him glorified today. And so as we go to him in prayer, I want his glory to be shown. I want the church to experience God on a deeper level than we've ever seen him before. And so just agree with me, pray for me today, because the enemy is really, he's resisting me. He's been really trying to stop me from even getting up here. But I believe that God has something special for you today. So let us pray. Lord Jesus, God, I'm in awe of your presence. God, I'm so thankful for the honor, God, to even stand behind this pulpit and deliver your word. God, I just pray, God, let your presence, oh Lord Jesus, overtake this congregation. God, I pray, let them see your heart. Let them see you in me today, that I am crucified with Christ, and nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. God, have your way today. Oh God, show yourself strong in this congregation. God, I'm nothing without you. God, I can do nothing, oh Lord Jesus, but through your Spirit. Have your way today. Lord Jesus, let someone be saved today. God, let someone experience the weight of your goodness and mercy and grace. Oh, Lord Jesus, we bless your name. We worship you and we praise you. We give you thanks today. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I was going to try and get through this without crying, but I've been seeking God, just really seeking God about what to say today. And the Lord really has been dealing with me. And the word that I initially heard as I was praying this week was the word intimacy. Intimacy. And I was working on my message last night, and I was kind of hit a roadblock, and I didn't know where else to go with it. And I started began to meditate and pray. Then the Lord gave me the other part of the message. And he said, I want you to talk to my people about intimacy versus proximity. Intimacy versus proximity. And as I heard that word and began studying, and I began just to meditate in the Word of God. I was listening to some worship music. I was sitting in my chair, and the Holy Spirit overwhelmed me. I just felt just waves of God's heart. I could feel his heart. I could feel his presence so strongly. A desperation that was there, an urgency of how badly he wants to have intimacy with his people. I felt such a grief, a heartbreak, as if his heart had been ripped from his chest. I felt that so strongly, his heart, his yearning to have intimacy with his people, with his children, with the bride that he died on the cross for. I can't explain to you how strongly it was. I would try to type a few words of notes on the page, and the Holy Spirit would overcome me, where all I could do was sit and weep and pray in the Spirit. And he said, I want you to talk to my people today about intimacy versus proximity. People have confused proximity, which is closeness to something. We talk about proximity, we're talking about how close you are to someone or to something. People have confused proximity, or the closeness between two objects, or between God and yourself, with intimacy, which is a detailed, deep understanding of that something. I hear time and time again people saying, I want to get closer to God. I want to get into closer proximity to God. But even though you're trying to get closer to God, you are not intimate with God, meaning that you do not have a deep understanding, a deep revelation of who he truly is. And I want to show you in the Word of God today that the people of God are in many ways, they are living way below the privileges that God has bought for them, because they are striving for proximity and not for intimacy. Turn with me to Genesis 29, verse 18. God is saying, I don't want to just get close to you. I don't want you just to be close to me. I want you to be intimate with me. Genesis 29, 18. Now, if you know the story, that Jacob, he fell in love with a young lady named Rachel, and that he wanted to marry her. He was madly in love with her, and he would do anything he could to have a relationship with this woman. Look what we see here. Genesis 29, verse 18. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee, talking to Laban, which was Rachel's father. I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. Stay with me. And Jacob worked. He slaved. He served 7 years for Rachel, for this woman that he loved. And it seemed unto him but a few days for the love that he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her, that I may have relationship with her, if you know what I mean. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him. And he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid, for an handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? So let me get this straight, okay? This guy is madly in love with Rachel. He works 7 years to just get the right to marry her. He works 7 years. And during those 7 years, he was nearby in very close proximity to her. Very close to her, seeing her every day. He worked right in her father's house, was in close proximity of her, but did not recognize her on their honeymoon. You see where I'm going with this? You can be close to someone, but not be intimate. You mean to tell me you're madly in love with this woman, working 7 years to get married to her, yet you could not distinguish or recognize her on the honeymoon and said it was her sister? So maybe they looked alike. The Bible makes a very clear distinction. It says that Rachel was fair. She was fine. She was beautiful. Leah was tender-eyed. Some biblical scholars even believe that she was cock-eyed. But yet when he got in that bed and had the most intimate of human relations with this woman, he could not tell that it was her. That is creepy, yes. Very creepy. I could teach a marriage seminar on this, but I'll try and stay out of it. Now I will teach a marriage seminar on this. The thing is this. Point number two I want to say is that Jacob married in darkness. If you look at the story, it says that he married her in the evening. And there's a lot of people that you're getting close in proximity to people in darkness. You're married to someone that you really don't even know that you're married to. And I don't just mean just a person. It could be your job or your career. This happens all the time. We see these mass shooters. Oh, Bill was a good guy. He served this company 30 years. Then he came in one day and killed everyone in the company. But Bill and I were real tight. You were in proximity to Bill, but you were not intimate with Bill. You didn't have a deep understanding and revelation of Bill. And in the same sense, you come to church every week. You come to church on Tuesday and Sunday. You may even read the Bible and pray every day and get close to God. But are you intimate with him? Do you know him? There's a difference between getting close to God and being intimate with him. Being intimate. I can't believe he loved this girl. I mean, when the guy's in love, they usually study everything about the girl, right? And we see this also like in Facebook. Like, you know, Facebook, we see everything about everyone's business. I know what you ate last night, what movie you went to, if the service was bad or not. We know all these little facts and details. All these little statistics. And we may see each other every once in a while. And that information to a certain degree may put me in close proximity to the person. But does that necessarily mean that I'm intimate with the person? My best friend Eric, who right now is in Benton Harbor, Michigan. I'm here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Okay? I've known the man my whole life. All 32 years of my life. Now we are not in close proximity of each other. He's 200 some miles away. But we are intimate. We could finish each other's sentences. I know what he likes. I know what he dislikes. I can predict his behavior because we've been intimate with each other. So being close to somebody, just hanging out with him every once in a while, sitting next to him in church, or even coming to church and worshiping God every once in a while, does not necessarily mean that you have a real relationship with God. I really want you to get this. Because a lot of us were saying, draw me nearer, Lord, nearer to the cross where thou hast died. And God, that's good, that's fine. Don't get me wrong, you need proximity to a certain degree. But God is like, I'm tired of just you being close to me and not being intimate with me. We stay in the same house and we don't even know anything about each other. To really drive this point, look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 18. Look at the children of Israel. Proximity versus intimacy. Exodus chapter 20, verse 18. It says, and all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they were moved and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. The children of Israel saw God all the time. They saw God in a way that we don't see God oftentimes. They saw God in a physical manifestation, a pillar of fire by day, a pillar of cloud by night. They saw the Red Sea part. They saw all this. They were in close proximity of God, but yet they had no real relationship with God. They did not want to talk to God because they were afraid that God might kill them, or they're afraid of God's power. You can be close to something, but not intimate. Look at Numbers 12, verse 1. Really driving home this point. Numbers 12, verse 1. Says, and Miriam and Aaron spake unto Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? So they're starting, like, Miriam and Aaron, who were Moses' brothers and sister, said that, aren't we just as close to God as Moses? Aren't we prophets just as much as Moses is? We're in close proximity to God. Look what it says here in verse 3. And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out ye three into the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out, and the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam. And they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I the Lord will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? He said, although you guys are close to me, you guys are prophets and you see vision stuff, Moses is above that. Moses, I'll talk mouth to mouth. I'll talk face to face. We are intimate with one another. I don't have that type of relationship like that with y'all. So y'all better quit talking smack about my servant Moses. Do you understand the difference between proximity versus intimacy? And we have so many people in the church who are close to God, but there is no intimacy. Because when there is intimacy, there is a transformation. When you become intimate with somebody, part of them gets inside of you and it produces something. I'm trying not to be crude today. But I hope you can understand what I'm trying to say. It's more than just being proximate, being close to God. I really want you to understand this, that there are people that are close to God and God doesn't even know who they are. Look at this, okay? Matthew 10:29 says this, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father, but the very heads of your head are all numbered? God knows the very heads on your, how many hairs are on your head right now. He knows every piece of information and statistic there is. You want to talk about a Facebook troll? God is the ultimate Facebook troll. He sees you when you're sleeping and he knows when you're awake. He's got Santa Claus beat. He knows what sandwich you ate. He knows when you went to the bathroom. He knows everything you're thinking. He knows everything. Psalm 139 verse 1 says this, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, Lord, O Lord, thou knowest altogether. Even know what I'm about to say before I even say it. God knows you. But don't you think it's strange? Because in Matthew 7:21, it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess to them, I never knew you? What? But you know when I sit down. You know when I stand up. You know what I think. You know what I had for dinner. You know what I did last summer. Little joke there. Terrible movie. But anyway, you know everything about me. How come you don't know me? Oh, Gus, I know everything about you, but I don't know you through relationship. I have not had intimacy with you. Yes, you're close by. We sit at the same desk at work, but we don't know anything really about each other. There is no intimacy. So I want to really deal with this question here. What stops intimacy? What stops that deep relationship that we want? I want to turn back to Genesis 3, verse 1. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. And we'll look at the story of Adam and Eve and how they fell. And I want to extrapolate a few points here. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. You guys all know the story. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Point number one, intimacy is lost when we are distracted by the things we don't need or shouldn't have. Because if you understand that God and Adam and Eve had a very intimate relationship, they hung out with each other every day. The Bible says that God walked with Adam and Eve during the cool of the day. They were close friends. They knew everything about each other. They had a very close relationship. And this story is cataloging the downfall of that relationship, of that intimacy. And the very first thing we notice is that Eve is distracted by something that she does not need, nor does she deserve to have. The Bible says in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. What are you looking at? What are you eyeballing? And because you're looking at the wrong thing, your heart is following suit after those things. And because you're distracted, you negate and neglect the true relationship that you're supposed to have with God. Again, you might be on Facebook trolling somebody, watching something on YouTube, or binge watching on Netflix, or hanging out and playing basketball, or playing Call of Duty on your PS4, or NBA 2K, and you're doing all this different stuff, and you're not focusing on that which matters most. You're distracted. And distraction can come in many forms. The very first thing the devil did was get her focused on the one thing that she didn't need, the one thing that she didn't deserve. And she began to focus on that one thing. And because of that, her whole heart became full of darkness. She was distracted. And this happens in marriages. Somebody starts investing in their career more than they start investing in their spouse. They get distracted. They start spending more hours at the office. They get distracted with their hobbies or whatever. They get distracted. Because of that, there comes a disunity, a discord that is sown inside of the relationship. And the two fall apart. And there's no longer any intimacy or proximity. The Bible says in verse 24, Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That you've got to get your eyes completely focused on Jesus Christ alone. The psalmist said in Psalm 27 verse 4, that one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. That we need to be looking unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. We need to get our eyes truly on the prize and focus on that which matters most. Quit worrying about the political situation that we are living in today. Quit worrying about the economy. In the grand scheme of eternity, none of it really matters. The only thing that matters is, do you know Jesus, and does Jesus know you? And I'm guilty of this. We become so busy doing the work of God that we fail to spend any real intimate time with God. We're so busy trying to preach the gospel and doing stuff like that, we don't spend any time in really developing a true relationship with God. God really began to deal with me on this. He took me back to when I was a teenager, before I ever set foot behind a pulpit. 6 o'clock in the morning, I was in my bedroom. I was lost in prayer, lost in getting in God's face. I wasn't studying the word of God so I preached to somebody. I was studying the word of God because I just wanted to know him better. I wasn't praying because I wanted some big ministry. I was praying because I wanted to hear his voice. I wanted to experience his presence. I wanted to know him better. But because of the work and the things of the day that now I've been having to do, to preach and teach and do all this other stuff, I'm reading the Bible just to teach someone else, but not internalizing and really having true intimacy with God. And then I'm getting burned out. And then my messages don't even sound that good anyway. Just my own worst critic. God said, man, forget that stuff, man. Get into my presence, man. Get into my word. Let my word get in you. Let's have intimacy. Let's go to a cabin in the woods and just have a honeymoon together. Let's just spend some quality time with each other. Let's have some intimacy. Quit worrying about this and worrying about that and paying the bills and the economy and all this other stuff. Just get into my presence. I want to have a relationship with you. I'm lonely. I want to see you. Distraction. Number two, I want to point out about this story is that intimacy is lost when doubt or unbelief is introduced into a relationship. You cannot be intimate with someone that you don't have any trust in. And one of the very first things that Satan did is, hath God said that you should not eat of the tree of the garden? You cannot eat of this particular tree? He introduced doubt and he introduced an attack and slander against the very character and integrity of God. And because of that lack of faith in God's character and in his word, she fell into this trap that Satan had. You cannot have true intimacy unless you truly trust and believe and invest everything into God. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6 that, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk not by faith and not by sight. And Amos 3:3 says that, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? Don't you understand? You cannot have intimacy with God and be in proximity with him unless you believe in him. unless you really believe in him. And I don't mean just rationalizing it or just having a theological understanding of the word of God. I mean really getting that word down deep inside of your heart, because it's from the heart that faith originates. The Bible says this in Romans 10:8. It says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee. It's close to you. It's in proximity even to in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The word is nigh thee. God is close to you, but he wants to be intimate with you. And the only way he can be intimate with you is if he plants his seed, his word, down inside of you. Thy word hath I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. We just sang it earlier. Hallelujah. Order my steps in your word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. That is what God is looking for. God wants you to trust him and believe in him. Do not believe the naysayers and the gainsayers. Do not believe the haters and all the people that are telling that God is not real, or that this word does not work, or that his spirit is not true. Believe the word of God, because the moment you start doubting God is the moment you lose intimacy with him. Matthew 15:8 says this, Jesus, quoting Isaiah, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So your lips are right and whispering in my ear. You're close in proximity to me, but your heart, the intimate part of you, is not with me. Not with me. God is looking for intimacy. Intimacy. And by the end of this service, I want to have an intimate moment with God. I want everyone in this congregation to really have an intimate moment with God, where we just completely just strip ourselves, because the fact of the matter is that we have nothing to hide. Strip ourselves and truly expose ourselves to God. Genesis chapter 3 verse 5, back to my text. For God doth know, this is Satan now speaking to Eve. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. She believed this lie. Point number 3, intimacy is lost when there is deception or misunderstanding. Where there is deception and misunderstanding. That God is speaking to you. God is trying to give you details regarding how to experience eternal life. How to experience the true fulfillment of his word and of his promises. But for some reason it's going in one ear and out the other. We're confused. We are misdirected. We're not fully grasping all that God wants to say. And because of that, we are missing really the true intimacy that God wants to have with us. The Bible says in Matthew 13:19, Jesus explaining the parable of the sower, that there was some seed that the Bible said there was a farmer who had seed who was planting or sowing seeds, and some seed, it fell upon the wayside or on a path. And look how Jesus, he explains this parable. He says in Matthew 13:19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. That God is speaking unto you through his word. God is speaking to you even now through me. And even now the enemy is trying his very best not to allow this word to get in your heart. He's trying to distract you about thinking about what you're going to have to eat after church. He's trying to get you to think about what's going to be on TV tonight. He's trying to get you to think about your job or your kids. He's trying to get you distracted, because if this word really gets inside of you, there's going to be transformation. The Bible says, I believe it's 1 Peter 1:23, that being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth, which liveth and abideth forever. Praise God. God wants his word inside of our heart. No misunderstanding. Do not believe the lies of the enemy to get you to miss out on the intimacy that God has for you. Praise God. Verse 7 of Genesis chapter 3. And the eyes of them were both opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God, amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. and I hid myself. This may be the number one reason why we miss it. Reason number four, intimacy is lost when we are ashamed to show ourselves to God and afraid of judgment. They hid from God because they were afraid. The very first time it mentions someone being afraid in the Bible is this verse in relation to God. When they talked to the devil, they were not afraid of the devil. When Satan was talking to them, they felt no fear whatsoever. Because they were righteous and they were holy. They were blameless. And in the same sense, you that are sitting in this house, therefore if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. And you have no reason to be afraid of the devil when he comes inside of your life. When he tries to attack you, there is no reason to be afraid. But there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Than the woman after the flesh, but after the spirit. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But for some reason, the very first time mankind experienced this emotion called fear, it was in relation to the lover of his soul. It was in relation to his creator. And that's exactly it. The greatest fear that mankind has is fear of judgment. And that's why they're trying to legalize everything so nobody will judge them. Legalize this. There's nothing wrong with this. It's okay to live this way. It's okay to smoke this and hit that and get with this. Everything's right. Why? Because you're afraid of judgment. We're afraid of judgment. They ran and they hid themselves. I want to tell you today that if you're in Christ, even if you're not in Christ, you've got nothing to hide. God already knows it anyway. God already knows it. I already told you. He's the biggest Facebook troll there is. He knows every statistic about you. So why are we trying to hide? 1 John 4:17 says this, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. You can have boldness in the day of judgment. When you stand before God on that judgment day, you will not have to stand there in timidity or trepidation or anxiety or fear. You can stand there with boldness because we are confident of this one truth, that Jesus Christ loves you and that his grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in weakness. And I do not stand here today because of my own righteousness or the merits of my own acts, but I stand here because of how good he is. Not because I've been so faithful. Not because I've been so good. You've always been there for me. I can't remember all the words of the song, but y'all know what I'm trying to say. I had nothing to do with this. He did it. That we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world, just as righteous, just as holy, just as perfect as Jesus Christ is. If you are in Christ, you are just as righteous and just as holy as he is. There is no fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Don't you understand? You don't have to run anymore. You've got nothing to hide. There's no reason, Adam and Eve, to get those fig leaves together. There's no need to hide behind that bush. There's no need to hide in the closet. There's no need to cry yourself to sleep because you're afraid to tell anyone the truth of what you're going through. There's no need to suffer this way. God is just saying, I want intimacy. I want to love you. I want to have a relationship with you. But you keep hiding yourself. You keep running away from me. You keep covering yourself with your own good works and your own good actions. You keep covering yourself with your bitterness. You keep covering yourself with your fears. You keep covering yourself trying to hide from me. I want intimacy. I want intimacy. It's like a broken marriage. Husband and wife are having problems in their marriage. They see each other every day. They eat the same table. But there's no intimacy. There's no intimacy. And God is like, I'm tired of sitting at the table and just looking at you. I'm tired of that. I want real intimacy. I got more, but I think you guys get the point. Stand up. Stand up. I gotta quit. This hit me so hard. This hit me so hard that God is desiring true intimacy.
You know why Noah's flood happened? Often people say it's because of God's wrath, God's anger. Wrong. It wasn't God's anger, it was God's grief. So that it repented God that he even made man. It broke his heart. People have even said that when it rains, that's when God cries. There might be some truth to that. Because the very first time it rained was when God was overwhelmed with grief. His grief of being rejected by the very creation that he made, that he loved so much, that he bled and suffered for so much. I want to assure you today that you have nothing to hide. Come out from the bush. Take off the fig leaves. The Bible says in Genesis 2:24, talking about Adam and Eve, that those two individuals, that they were completely naked, but they were not ashamed. And that's intimacy at its core. When I can show you everything about me and not feel judgment and not feel fear and trying to cover up, that's when you know that you're really in love. That's exactly what God is saying here today. I want to be intimate with you. Stop hiding. Strip off your fears. Strip off all this stuff. And just come out and just break yourself before me. Withhold nothing from me. Let me heal you. Let me help you. You've got nothing to hide. God's not going to judge you. Jesus Christ has not come to condemn the world. But he came to save it. And the only way he can save it is if you let him. If you let him. I want to just take a moment. One of the most intimate things that we can ever do is worship. Worship. Worship is one of the most, it's the most intimate thing that we could do. It's just that time of worship. Don't get me wrong, I love to put them up and put them down like the best of them. I like shouting too. But there's something about worship. When you really just take a moment to think. Psalms 8:3 and 4 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And I quote a lot in my messages because it hits me so hard. David, when he looked at creation, he said, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man? What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" When I consider all the splendor of creation, the angels, the universe, the galaxies, you would leave all of that behind just to have a conversation with me, of all people. God wants to have intimacy. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to just worship just for a minute. Before I give an altar call, I just want to have worship. I want to have worship. Honest worship. I mean honest, unabated, unashamed worship. Those of you that are married, that are in this room or in a relationship, are you afraid to show affection to your husband or to your wife? Do you like, when your husband leaves to give you a kiss or when your wife needs to give you a kiss, like, oh. Then why are we that way with God? We need some PDA in here. Some public displays of affection. Affection to God. Unashamed. I've got nothing to hide. I've got nothing to lose. I've already lost it all. Hallelujah. If you could. You can worship in your own way. One of the things that really just helps me get into worship, I used to do this in my bedroom when I was a kid. I love just to get on my knees and just bow before him. Just bow before him. And I would picture in my mind the 24 elders sitting behind the throne, getting off of their seats, casting their crowns before him. I could hear the seraphim crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Just take a moment. Take a moment.
Take a moment just to worship Him. Open your heart. That door inside of your heart that you've had locked and bolted closed for so long, that hurt, that grief. Open that door. God says, it breaks my heart to see you hurting this way. It grieves me. I want to be intimate with you. I want to be intimate with you. Just right now in your own way, just begin to worship Him. I feel the Holy Ghost just flooding this place right now. Intimacy. My God. My soul, it falleth hard after Thee. Early will I seek Thee. My Lord and my God, my Savior, the lover of my soul, I worship You. I exalt You. Unashamed, unafraid. I don't care who's watching me. You loved me when no one else loved me. You were shamed so I wouldn't have to be shamed. You bled so I wouldn't have to bleed. God, I worship You. Lord, I lift You up and I exalt You. God, I want to have a real relationship with You.